The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yossi Rabinowitz.
Let us begin Be'ezer Hashem, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Klal Lamed Gimel, Dvarim Ha'asurim Mishum Sakana, those things that are forbidden to consume or to practice, to have out of danger. There's either a physical or metaphysical danger involved with the following endeavors. Some of these are Aser Medina, some of these are Eitzah Tova, highly recommended that they be avoided. So let's see. Aser Lechel Dagim Basar. The first, and perhaps most well-known, Iser here is to eat fish with meat. Vafilu im shuman oifos, there is no difference between fowl, poultry, and meat of a behemoth, of red meat. There was an opinion quoted that since the feet of chickens have something that looks like kaskasim, like scales, therefore they'd be more similar to fish and would not be included in what the Gemara considers a sakana for tzaras, for a type of leprosy. But all the poskim have rejected this opinion, and there is absolutely no difference between Besar Behima and Besar Ofos regarding this danger of meat and fish together. Ve'ein litzlos basar im dag b'tanur echad, and one cannot bake or roast meat with fish in the same oven, kshehu tanur katan, if it's a small oven. There's a shear and given in Hilchos Recha and Hilchos Taruvis, a tanur that does not hold yud beis esronim, 12/10 of an eifa. That's a Talmudic measure. That's considered a tanur katan. It's unclear whether our tanurim are our ovens today in the 21st century. Your typical kitchen oven is considered a tanur katan or tanur gadol, and one should be machmir. So the halacha is that they cannot be roasted in the same tanur. Elok she'echad mei mechusa, but they have to be covered. One of them has to be covered. Ava b'tanurim shalanu shehem gadolim ein lachush. At least in the times of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, where the ovens were larger perhaps even than they are today, so the Kitzur writes that one may roast uncovered meat with fish, of course as long as they're not touching each other, then it's in a larger oven, it's mutar lechatchila. The halacha b'di'eved, if one mixed meat and fish, so if they actually touched or were cooked together, it is aser even b'di'eved. The dish is aser. And the opinion of many gedolim is to be machmir, that even bittel does not help. Even if, for example, there's 60 times in the volume of the meat over the volume of the fish. So normally we would say bittel b'shishim when it comes to isurim, but when it comes to sakana, there's a klal in the Gemara in Chulin, chamira sakanta misura. The danger of physical danger is more grave than a halachic prohibition. And therefore, the Taz and others after him are machmer, even b'shishim. There are contemporary poskim like the Shevet Halevi who maintain that, like the poskim who disagree with the Taz, and that really it's mutter, perhaps the Kavod Shabbos, we could be mekel to be somech on bittel. But certainly if there's no shishim, then everyone agrees that the mixture is aser b'di'eved. What happens if they were roasted in the same oven, uncovered, but a smaller oven, but did not touch? So although the Rama sounds like he's mekel b'di'eved, but the Shach implies that he would be machmer b'di'eved, if they were roasted in the same oven uncovered. Regarding a fleishig pot to be used for fish, so the meaning is to be mekel, that if the pot is clean, the pot can be used for a fish. She'oichel dogim v'acharkach basar o'ilehefech. If one eats fish, as is customary, especially at a Shabbos meal, to eat fish first and then meat. We had earlier in the Kitzur that this is perhaps the recommended order because fish is lighter and easier to get the digestive juices flowing and facilitate the subsequent digestion of the meat. So if one eats fish and followed by meat, or if it's the opposite way, yesh lechol b'neim k'tas pas, one should eat some bread between them, b'lishtes ezamashke, and drink something, d'havi kinuach v'hadacha. So that would constitute kinuach, that's the cleaning out, and hadacha, the rinsing out of the mouth, which halachically needs to take place, for example, between meat, between milk and then meat. So too, minhag of the Ashkenaz, based on the Ramah, is to do a kinuach v'hadacha. The Chachmas Adam implies that with hadacha, just to drink something between the fish and the meat is sufficient. The Mechaber holds that one should wash his hands, and there were certain chassidish rebbes that would know it to actually wash their hands between fish and meat. But the general custom is to drink something. And there's an interesting Rabbi Kiva Eger who writes based on the Tosis and Ma'od Katan that one should not drink water immediately after eating fish. There's some danger involved with that as well. And therefore, the minig, especially amongst Hasidim, has evolved that they drink some sort of schnapps, some sort of other drink after the fish, and only then would they drink water or other soft drinks. So those are the halachis of regarding fish and meat. Continues the Kitzur. Tzarech lizar mizeyas adam, one has to be especially careful to stay away from sweat, from human sweat. Shekol zeyas adam hustamamav, is human sweat is a poison. Chutz mizeyas aponim, other than the sweat of one's face. The Shach brings an interesting remez, a hint to this. The pasuk says, bezeyas apecha toicha lechem, with the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread, implying that that bread can actually be eaten literally, mixed together with the sweat of the brow. Therefore, we see that the sweat coming from one's face is not dangerous. But one should stay away from sweat. V'lachen yizor shlayitin machol ben godov l'psari, he should not have placed any food item between his clothes and his flesh, v'pnei hazeya, so that the food item should not absorb sweat. And certainly if one touches a spot in his body which has sweat, he has to wash his hands, as we learn in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Siman Dalet. There's a Ruach Ra. V'chein lo yitin mois l'sech piv, he should not put coins in his mouth. Shema yesh alayim mad zeya. It's more than just for hygienic reasons. There is the sweat, which is dangerous. V'od sheyad hakol memashmashin bahen. This is the hygiene part of it, that many people have touched these coins, they could be illness, various viruses, contagious ones that are on these coins. And likewise, one should not put any other metal piece in his mouth, lest he swallow it. According to the second reason, that there may be viruses on the coins, that would apply to other things as well. Tzarich kol adam lizar tamid, one should be careful always. K'miriach riach ez emacho, when he smells some food which is enticing and whets his appetite, his saliva begins to be secreted. Yaflit kol haroik shebefiv, he should spit out the saliva in his mouth. V'lo yivla, he should not swallow it, because his palate gets excited about the food, and then all he's swallowing is the saliva that could set off a reaction in his body, which could be dangerous. If he were to swallow that saliva, that he could be endangered. Chazal tell us that if liquids were left uncovered, they should not be drunk, because we fear that a snake has infected the liquid with its venom, and therefore Chazal asserted all mashkim there were niskala. Now the Shulchan Aruch writes that nowadays when we don't have snakes running loose, generally speaking, there's no reason to be choshesh for this. There's no need to be concerned about for gilui. And the Mefarshim, the Pichonish, explains that although generally with the gzeres of Chazal, the rule of thumb is that although the reason for the gzera is no longer applicable, but the gzera itself does not expire, but when it came to this gzera of gilui, even in the times of Chazal, the gzera was not universal. The gzera did not apply even then in locales where there were no snakes. So there was a caveat already back then in the gzera, and therefore nowadays when there are no snakes anywhere, we are we are comparable to the locations back in the days of Chazal when there were no snakes, and therefore the gzera of Chazal is not binding for us today. Nevertheless, there were those who were makbid on gilui. The Shla writes that a bal nefesh should be machmir, and it's not for naught that the Torah has a lengthy exposition on the halachas of the different details of gilui, even though the Torah only writes things that are nogei bizman hazeh. And likewise, the Vilna Gaon was very makbid on mashkim there on iskala. Even today, I have seen that Rabbi Avigdor Nebenzahl in the Rav of the Old City is makbid on gilui. But generally speaking, the vast majority of from Jews are not makbid on gilui today. Continues the Kitzer. Vav. Also, litein dvar machol imashkim tachas hamita afilu hemichusim. It is forbidden to place food or drink under one's bed, even if they are covered. Neshiruach ro shora alehim, because there is a dangerous spirit that rests on those foods. And there's a controversy in the poskim whether it's specifically a bed which is slept on. Some say it's only a bed that where a husband and wife sleep. But generally speaking, it's accepted that food or drink should not be left under any bed, especially if it was slept on. Ubikfarim, and it just so happens, observes the Kitzer, that in villages, yesh machzikim tapuchi adama, there are people who store potatoes, yushar ma'acholim tachas amitas, and other food items under their beds. V'yesh lazir ma'zeh, they should be warned to avoid doing this. If one accidentally did leave food under his bed, the consensus of the poskim is that the food is mutter b'di'eved, although the Gaon was machmir and asserted it. The Dayan Weiss in the Minchas Yitzchak permits leaving food on the bottom, the holder in a baby stroller, although the child sleeps above the food. It is not nesar. Generally, we look for coolest in yonim of sakana, and that only those instances that are clearly addressed and mentioned in the poskim are the types of cases that we are concerned with, but not a variation thereof, even if it's pretty close. V'chein Yizor mikol dvarim hamaviyim midei sakana. Generally speaking, one should be very careful about things that have a danger involved. Ki sakanta chamir meisura, because we are more makbid in matters of sakana than in matters of iser, of general prohibitions. V'yeshlochus yoisel l'safik sakana l'safik iser. If there's a possibility for sakana, one has to be more concerned for that than for a possibility of iser. V'lochein. Also, leilich b'chol makom sakana, one cannot walk in a dangerous place, going tachas kirnati, under a leaning wall. The Chazal tell us that if one walks narrow-leaning walls, and Menashemayim, they look at him and they say, oh, this person feels that he's so pious, he's so worthy that he'll be protected and nothing will happen to him if he puts himself in a place in the face of danger, and then he's scrutinized more and his deeds are examined to see if indeed he does merit this extra protection, thus putting himself in the spotlight, so to speak, and bringing a possible danger upon himself. So one should stay away from these dangerous, conspicuous situations. Val gesher ra'ua, one should not walk over a shaky bridge. Velo yetzi yechidi b'layla, nor should he walk out alone at night. Velo yishan yechidi b'cheder b'layla, and he should not sleep alone. Not, and kids are saying, not even in a room alone, let alone in a house. Although the general minig, as expressed by the Aruch HaShulchan, is that as long as there's someone else in the house, the minig of the olam is to sleep alone in a room. The Chazanish and the Stipler were more makbid. They perhaps were makel if there was a light on. But generally speaking, people are makel as long as there's someone else in the building, in the structure. Bechazal forbade drinking water from the wells, apparently because one cannot see what he's drinking, and there may be some foreign substance in the water of the river. If there's a stream coming from a well and the like, one should not put his mouth on the stream because it's since this is running, flowing water, he cannot see what's in that water, and it may have some surprises in store for him. Shema yivla is a davar hamazik, so that he should not swallow something toxic. Noagim shabishas atkufa. It is customary that at the equinox, the four equinoxes during the year, where for reasons we obviously cannot understand, there's a danger involved. The Rama writes that at the time of the Tkufa, people refrain from drinking water. So the way around it is to put some metal, manichin k'taz barzel al kol ha-mashkim u'macholim. The minhag was to place some metal on the liquids and foods. Ve'al ha-mavusholim, oikvushim u'maluchim, foods that are cooked or pickled or salted, ein tzrichin. These foods are not subject to the danger of the tkufa, of that moment of the equinox. Asur lechol macholim u'mashkim, it is forbidden to eat food or drink liquids shenafshe shel adam kotzabahem, that are disgusting, abhorrent to an individual, oimitech kelim u'usim, or to eat foods using dishes that are disgusting, shenafshe shel adam kotzabahem, that are repulsive, v'chein lo yochal b'yadayim mezohomas, nor should one eat with soiled hands, shekol eiluim b'chlal al teshaktus nafshisechem. These are all included in the pasuk that says, don't disgust yourselves. Literally speaking, the pasuk is referring to eating treif, eating bugs and insects. But Chazal darshin, and it's a question of whether it's a d'orais or the rabbanon. I believe the Rambam writes that he receives makas mardus, which are the lashes given for an issur d'rabbanon. But the Chazal darshin that a person cannot cause himself to be disgusted. Vafilu yoimar she'ein nafshei kotza b'hem, and even if he claims that he's unaffected by this, but l'dayte etzal kol adam, his opinion is insignificant, because generally speaking, for the society at large, these are things that are repulsive. Behema oif shahayu masukanim v'nishchatu, if there was an animal or a chicken that were close to death, that they were very ill and weren't going to live long, v'nishchatu, and they were shechted just at that point, so as to prevent them from becoming a nevela. Afal pi shehutu b'shchita, even though technically speaking the shchita is valid and the food is kosher, nevertheless, hamedaktikim machmirim al atzmam shelo la'achlam. The scrupulous individuals are stringent upon themselves and they will not eat it. The Gemara says that one of the Amiraim praised himself by saying, I would not eat from a behema mesukenes. Asur liktzotz ilon machol ha'osa perus. It is forbidden to cut down a tree a fruit-bearing tree. And the Gemara in Baba Kama says there's a lava bal tashchis. What is considered a fruit-bearing tree? The Kitzur brings from the Gemara in Baba Kama, Ilan Zayis Shu Oisa Reva Hakav Zaysim. If it's an olive tree, it has to produce a quarter kav of Zaysim. But Dekel, a palm tree, would be considered significant enough not to be cut down if it produces a kav of tamarim, let's say again, a measure of dates. So firstly, there's an iser, the iser batashkis, the prohibition that applies to wasting any food, any asset. And secondly, the sakana, it is also a danger. This stems from the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, one of the rishonim in Germany, left a, what some say is a tzava, is a will to his descendants. But there are many points in that tzava, for example, not marrying one's niece, or not marrying, not having a person should not marry the daughter of a person who has the same name as he does, and many other issues that of involving sakana, such as closing up a window, that come from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid Tzava. So Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is very strong about the sakana involved in cutting down a fruit-bearing tree. V'im hu samuch li'ilanos acheros, and if it neighbors other trees shechashuvim yosem menu that are more valuable than this tree, v'hu makchishos, and this tree, this fruit-bearing tree, is weakening the other more valuable trees, v'chein, or if he needs the space, if the actual wood that can be taken from this tree is more expensive, is more valuable than the fruit which it bears, in these instances, one would be permitted to cut down the tree. So now, although the Kitzur and others are mekel, and you know, perhaps for the masses it would be okay not to be concerned for sakana, but there were gedolim who were very careful with this and would not cut down a tree, even if it made things very inconvenient. As the story goes, when the Neri Yisrael was building its batei medrash, there was a fruit tree growing at the building site, and as a result, Rabbi Ruderman Zitzal, the Rosh Hashiva, ordered that the building be built long and narrow in a somewhat of an abnormal shape, so as to avoid cutting down the tree which was growing behind that building. Hachoshesh b'meyav, one who has stomach ailments, yesh oisim l'refuah, there was a remedy that was used in the times of the Gemara, shema'amidin al-bitno klish yesh b'mayim chamim, they would place a vessel with hot boiling water on his stomach. For us, ulasis can be asakana. The Gemara tells us that one should avoid doing this, lest the water spill and burn and scald the person's stomach. Mishnah Berurah writes that if the vessel is closed, if it's capped, then we don't have this issue, and it would be permitted. Continues the Kitzur. Aser la'avar benachal shameim of roidfim. If one cannot wade through a stream with the moving water, im hamayim magiyim lemalam imasnaim, if the water reaches above his waist, even though it would seem that he could definitely safely pass through, mishum sakonash leishtefu amayim, because there's a danger involved that he may be flooded, the water may carry him downstream. Aser lahitzi mipiv dvar puranos al adam Yisrael. One cannot make up a premonition, issue a foreboding statement, saying that something bad will befall a fellow Jew. Afilu loymar, iluhaya pliny kayim abalakan. Even if a person wants Pliny or Reuven to come, and Reuven's not showing up, a person should not say, well, if Reuven was alive, he would be here, implying that Reuven is not. So any negative connotation, we don't want to be posteach pela satan and imply anything negative. Kibris kusilas vasayim, the lips, the mouth has certain powers, and as the Gemara says about Chacham, who gives a klalaf, kilul as chacham afilu al tnai ba, even if a chacham curses conditionally, and even if the condition is not fulfilled, something bad could evolve from that curse. We find with Yaakov that Yaakov said that anyone who has lava, who stole lavans avodah zarah, his trafim lo yichya, and even though it was not Rachel, but Rachel didn't actually steal them, according to some interpretations. But since Yaakov said that she would not live, referring to Rachel, who at the time was accused by Lavan of stealing his trafim, indeed Rachel left the world early. So one has to be very careful with what predictions he issues, even if he's not serious about them. The ein lasis meira latinok bedavatami. One should not threaten a child with you using a threat involving an impure animal, an unkosher animal. Kigon leimar chosul or kelav yikheyu, to say that a dog or a cat will attack the child. So specifically because he's using a davar tame that's prohibited, but the poskim say that a person should not obviously make any such threats, even if it's with a kosher animal. And moreover, a person shouldn't threaten a child, because a child could become very fearful. If a child is deserving of punishment, the punishment should be meted out immediately, so that the child doesn't have to cower waiting for when the punishment will take place. B'chein b'chol kayetze ba'elu, anything similar to this, tzarech lizor ma'oid mehergel aloshen, one has to be very careful what he utters and make sure his speech is positive and he predicts only good things, aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. And that, Be'ezer Hashem, completes Klal Lamed Gimel.